Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. We all have different traditions that we enjoy around the Christmas season. And one of the things that we like to do as a family is we like to go and look at Christmas light displays. And so we'll often go and see different Christmas lights displays. Thursday night, I took my wife and my kids and my mom, and we drove down to Mount Pleasant, and they have a big light display down there that you can drive through and have a lot of different things set up. It was pretty interesting and fascinating. We love to find different things like that this time of year to enjoy. Now, how many of you are in that boat with me and my family? You like to go look at all the different light displays. All right, good. You put your hands down. So put that picture up there for us, Dusty. Our family, we enjoy different light displays. Now, as we were down in Mount Pleasant, I'll tell you about this place in just a second, but as we were down in Mount Pleasant, it got me thinking about what is my favorite light display I've ever seen. Like, ever got to go enjoy. I'm not talking about something you saw on TV, but you went to see it yourself. Anybody want to share theirs with us? What's the best light display you've ever gone to see for yourself? Yes, Sarah. All right, Blue Creek Christmas. How many of you have been to Blue Creek Christmas? All right, good. How many of you have no idea what Blue Creek Christmas is? All right, really, that many of you. That's incredible. I love Blue Creek Christmas. We go every single year in between Center Point and Walker, Iowa, out in the middle of nowhere. There's a neighborhood, and one house started it. They set up this great light display, and they arrange it to music. So you dial your radio station to that station that they have set up right there in the neighborhood. And so it started with one house, and then it expanded to the entire cul-de-sac. So they play like three or four songs, and it's all timed according to, the lights are timed according to these songs. It's fantastic. So just Google Blue Creek Christmas, and you'll be able to find the address. You need to go see it. All right, somebody else, your favorite. Yes, Janice.
Yeah, the same thing is at
Mm-hmm. Really? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I know a couple others have shut down that have been long-standing traditions. All right, somebody else, favorite. East Peoria? Okay, I've been there one time. Yes. You were going to say East Peoria. So I enjoy the ones where you have to drive through this time of year. I've been to some where you walk through, and sometimes that can be really uncomfortable. As I mentioned, we love going to see the lights. And so a couple of years ago, I took my family down to Kansas City. And around the Kansas City area, there's a lot of different displays that you can go to. And you go downtown Kansas City, and there's like trees and ice skating and all. It's just really fantastic. Well, I had heard about this thing called the Magic Tree. I'm like, that's kind of fascinating to me. And here we are. We have our picture in front of the Magic Tree. But as I hear about this thing, I just had an address that I'd found somewhere online for the Magic Tree. So I was like, okay, let's go check it out. And so I'm following my GPS, and as we know, it's not always reliable. So I'm following my GPS trying to find this place, and I'm out in the middle of literally nowhere. I have no idea where I am at. Only been to Kansas City a few times, and I'm outside of Kansas City, and I see these signs saying the Magic Tree. So I'm like, okay, so it has to be around here somewhere, but I don't see anything. Like, this very famous, like, light display, and yet it's, like, pitch black out here. I'm driving down this little dirt road. Like, I'm asking, like, is this the right place? I feel like I'm in one of those Christmas horror movies. It's like, You go down this certain dirt road, and that's it for you and your family at Christmas time. But we go around the corner, and all of a sudden, like, there it is. I'm like, this is the most amazing thing that I've ever seen in my entire life. And we've been in a lot of different light displays. It's literally one tree. And that's it. But every single square inch of this tree, the smallest of branches, all have lights on them. And it's absolutely just incredible, the amount of light. This is actually, it's outside of Kansas City. It's in Lee's Summit, Missouri. And you can go online and see about the magic tree, but it's pretty fascinating. But it was interesting how there was literally nothing. Like, we're driving to this famous place, literally nothing, and then all of a sudden, boom, you can just see it. And it was amazing. My girls loved it. I loved it. It was just fantastic. But, you know, our lives are a lot like that sometimes, where we're in darkness, Spiritually, we're in darkness, can't see anything until, boom, the light shines on us. And here we are in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And we see just that recorded for us in verse number 6. As the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness..." Now, those of you who weren't here last week, what he's referring to there is all the way back in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And you remember in verse 3, verse 2 talks about how it's all darkness. Verse 3, God says, "Let there be light." And there is light. And we talked about how at any moment, God can shine light into the darkness in your life. And no matter the situation and no matter what's going on in your life, and there are times where it just feels like, man, I don't know what direction to take. I don't know where to go. I don't know what decision to make. And all of a sudden, boom, God can speak, "Let there be light," into my situation and yours. It's absolutely fantastic. And so the God who commanded the light to shine, okay, talking about physically, into our physical world, has shined in our heart. See, he's using a physical illustration to teach us a spiritual truth. So he's now going away from physical light to talking about spiritual light. He says he's shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us, that you don't want us to wander in darkness. You want us to have the light of Jesus shining into our hearts. God, I pray for those who may still be in darkness this morning. They've never trusted Jesus to be their Savior. They don't have a relationship with the Savior. And I pray that today they would understand it's not about going to church. Whether it's this church or any other church, it's not about being baptized. It's not about being a good person or trying to follow some sort of code or law system. It's about trusting in Jesus and Him alone to save them from their sins. And you've said they'd be born again, a child of light and no longer wandering in darkness. And I pray that you would shine your light into the hearts that need it here this morning. And God, for those of us who have trusted you as our Savior, we put our faith in you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to tell others about the light who has come. That we would take the opportunity that this season affords to us and the openness to talk about Jesus and to talk about salvation. And that many people would come to know Jesus because we have obeyed your command to tell others about the light of the world that has come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here he talks about, now Paul is talking to believers. Okay, so he's talking to people who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. And he said that he has shined into your hearts. And he goes on and explains the light there that he's talking about is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And I just kind of to kind of sum that up by talking about the light of Jesus in us. That's what he shined into our hearts. And you may ask, well, why do I need God to shine light into my heart anyway? Because there's a lot of people out there that will teach. I mean, we're all good people, right? There might be a few bad people out there, but pretty much we're all good people, aren't we? But that's not what the Bible teaches us. It's not what the Scripture teaches us. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul is once again writing to believers. He's writing to people in the city of Ephesus. And he says this to them in Ephesians 5, verse number 8, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." So notice what he says about them. Okay, he says, you were sometimes darkness. So in other words, what that means is you used to be darkness. He's talking about spiritually. Spiritually, you and I were all in darkness without Jesus. That's where we were. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That word sin means that we've broken God's rules. God created all things and he has the right to make the rules. And God established certain rules and he said, we've all broken them. We've broken every single one of them. When you say, I've not broken that many of them. Well, if we've broken one, it's recorded in the Scripture that if we offend in one point, we're guilty of all of it. If we've broken one rule, we're guilty of breaking all of them. So he says, we're all have done wrong. We've all broken the rules. And just like it was at my house and it was at your house, when we broke the rules, there's a punishment for it. And because God is the one who made the rules, God is the one who dictates the punishment. And we've talked about this before, because some people look at things like lying, that's not really that big of a deal. But it's all about the person that you offend. And we've talked about this in the past. If I offend my children, there are certain repercussions of that. If I offend a police officer, there's different repercussions for that. If I offend the president of the United States, there's a lot higher repercussions for that. Well, we all have offended an all-powerful, holy God. And so the punishment is absolutely infinite, eternity in the lake of fire. That's what I deserve because I am in darkness. That's what you deserve because you are in darkness. And he says, before you knew Jesus, before you had the light, you were in darkness. But thankfully, once we trust in Jesus, then we are light in the Lord. Now, the Apostle Paul is a great example of this, of what we're talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 6, where he says, God who called the light out of darkness, shined in your hearts. The Apostle Paul is a good illustration of that. Now, we know him by his Greek name, Paul. Turn with me to Acts chapter number 9. In Acts chapter number 9, we see him talked about with his Hebrew name, which is Saul. So Paul and Saul are the same person. Just depends on what language you're using to call him by. And we won't get into the detail of why he's called different things at different times. We don't have enough time to get into all of that. Just know it's the same individual. So in Acts chapter number 9, verse number 1, it's recorded for us that Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. So one of the things you need to know about Saul before he came to know Jesus is he absolutely hated Jesus. He wanted to destroy the name of Jesus. He wanted to destroy anybody who believed on Jesus, anybody who talked about Jesus. And so he was on his way. And you notice in verse number one, it says he's breathing out threatenings and slaughter. So he means business. Saul loves his God, and he sees Jesus and Jesus' followers as a threat to his God, and he will kill for his God. Sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? There's a lot of people around this world today that will kill for their God. We were reminded of that this week in Pensacola, Florida. What a sad thing. But here, he's willing to do anything to stamp out Christianity. So here he is on this quest to put an end to Jesus' followers when, in verse number 3, it tells us that he came near Damascus and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? So in another place, as Paul is giving his testimony, he said the light that shone down was brighter than the sun. That the sun paled in comparison to the light that shone down in him at this moment. And God is going to use, once again, he's going to use something physical so that we can understand something spiritual. And Paul sees a physical light that shines down. And you notice what the voice says. Now we know this is Jesus from later on in the passage. He hears this voice in verse 4 that says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I don't know about you, but I would have a kind of a question in my mind. What do you mean? I mean, how have I persecuted you? In Matthew 25, verse number 40, we find Jesus speaking here. He's teaching his disciples a lesson and using a story to illustrate it. And he says in verse 40, the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Now here Jesus is talking about and says, hey, I was hungry, you fed me, I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink, I was an immigrant, you took me in, I was naked, you gave me clothes, sick, you visited me, in prison, you helped me. And his followers were like, when did we do that? Like, I don't ever remember Jesus being in prison. I don't remember him being an immigrant and we took him in. And so his answer was verse number 40 there that we read. He said, when you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Now later on, he's going to scold some other people because they didn't help out. And Jesus is going to say, listen, when I was hungry, you didn't give me anything to eat. When I was thirsty, you didn't give me drink. When I was an immigrant without a home, you didn't take me in and help me. And he's going to tell them the same response. Because they're going to say, Jesus, when were you thirsty? When were you naked and we didn't give you clothes? And he says the same thing. In the way that you didn't do it to the least of these, you didn't do it to me. And that's exactly what's taking place in the conversation that Jesus is having with Saul. When he says, hey, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Because Jesus is not physically there anymore. He's gone to be with his father. He persecuted Jesus by persecuting his followers. And now let me just say and add this for those who are in here and know Jesus as their Savior. I believe many of us are guilty of slandering Jesus because we slander somebody else, one of his followers. And many of us have withheld from helping somebody else because they don't believe exactly everything the same way we do. And so we call them heretics and we do all this stuff and we say all these things. And there's going to be a time where we're going to stand before Jesus and he's going to say, hey, why did you say this against me? What do you mean, Jesus? I didn't say it against you. You said it against, and you did it against believers. You did it against me. So let's be careful about the way that we treat one another. We're supposed to love one another. If there's another church preaching the gospel of Jesus, leave them alone. And praise God that they're reaching people, even if they don't do it the way we do it. That's for free for our Christians who are here. So he says, why have you persecuted me? And we find in verse number 5 of Acts chapter number 9, Paul asks a question, you know, who are you? I like that. Who are you? He wants to know who he's talking to. You notice the answer, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's Jesus, the one you hate, the one you're trying to destroy. Followers that you're throwing in prison, causing them to blaspheme, killing them. And he makes this statement here. And this is where the light is shined into Saul's heart. He says, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. I'm the one. And Saul is confronted here with who Jesus is. Right now you're being confronted with who Jesus is. You have to make a choice. Are you going to believe in Jesus to save you from your sins? Or are you going to continue to walk in darkness? You have that choice to make. But he continues on and he makes the statement here, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Saul's conscience had been bothering him. He couldn't shake feelings of guilt and shame that he had for what he had done. Now, we won't take time to read through these verses because we don't have the time here this morning, but I would encourage you to spend some time in Acts chapter number 7, especially verses 55 through 60, where we read about a man named Stephen who loved God, who loved Jesus, and was preaching the truth. And these religious leaders gathered around and stoned Stephen to death. And it tells us that the people who stoned Stephen, they basically gave their coats for Saul to hold while they stoned this follower of Jesus to death. And in Acts chapter 8, verse number 1, it tells us this, and Saul was consenting unto his death. Saul was glad about it. But see, one of the things that Stephen did is even while Stephen was being stoned to death, he's praying to God. He says, hey, I look up and I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And as they're killing him with his last breath, he prays the same prayer that Jesus prayed where he said, Father, lay not this sin to their charge. God forgive them. That's what Stephen said, is these people are literally killing him for teaching the truth. And man, that moment in time, I believe, is just eating at Saul's conscience. And Jesus said, it's hard to fight against that. And man, I can remember times where I heard the truth about who Jesus was and my conscience, Holy Spirit of God, was just working in me, convicting me that I am a sinner. I have broken God's rules, and I could just feel the conviction that was inside of my heart. And I understand the words that Jesus says when he said it, man, that's hard to fight against. But I fought against it. And I fought against it for a long time. And I'm thankful that one more time the Holy Spirit came knocking. One more time he convicted me in my heart so that I could receive the truth. And if you're here today and you're feeling that conviction in your heart, don't put it off. God was long-suffering to me and he gave me one more opportunity, but God might not give you one more opportunity. This may be the last day of your life. This may be the last opportunity for you to hear the truth. And here Jesus said to Saul, man, it's hard to fight against that conscience. And he'd been fighting against it. He'd been struggling. And finally, Jesus gets a hold of him. And in verse number 6, he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And his response here shows his belief in who Jesus was. See, Saul's not somebody that never heard about Jesus before. Saul knew all about Jesus. He knew the entire story. So he didn't need somebody to sit down and then record the conversation about, hey, this is who Jesus is. This is you're a sinner and you need to trust in Jesus for your sins. He didn't need somebody in this moment to do that for him because he already knew. What he did here is he believed what he knew about Jesus. And that belief is shown in his response when he says, and he submits, and he surrenders, and he calls Jesus Master. What will you have me to do? See, in that moment, his faith became sight. He believed. And that's exactly what you have to do. The Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be spiritually saved. You have to believe. He recognizes Jesus as the Savior. And so Saul is this great illustration here of what we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now I want you to understand that just as God shined light into Saul's life, he can shine it into yours. If you're here today and you've never trusted in Jesus, you're still wandering around in darkness. Stumbling around just like we talked about last week. You don't have to. Why? Because the light of the world has come to give you light. To give me light. So that I can be free from my sins and the penalty that it brings, so that I can walk in the light as he is in the light. And I want to encourage you to trust in Jesus and have his light shine on you this morning.